Well, hi everybody, and welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I had an incredible adventure yesterday when I went to see an exhibit at 23 Sandy, which is a beautiful, just jewel box of a gallery in Portland. And right now, the exhibit opening today is they're called broadsides, and I don't really know very much about this art making, but I learned a little bit yesterday from Laura, the curator and owner of the gallery. The broadsides that are exhibited right now are a part of a book called Dead Feminists, Historic Heroines in Living Color. It was written and illustrated by Chandler O'Leary and Jessica Spring, and they are with me right now by phone. They live in Tacoma. And I'm so delighted that you were able to talk to us for a little bit.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, you are in Jessica's studio right now. Is that right?
Actually, we're at Chandler's house.
Oh, okay. Got it. Now, Laura told me yesterday that you two have been working together for a very long time. How did you meet?
I moved here to Tacoma about 8 years ago, and I met Jessica pretty much within a week. I went to a letterpress event actually up in Seattle and met her there. But even if I hadn't, I probably would have met Jessica with about 5 minutes, because Tacoma's a small town. Everybody kind of knows each other, and the art scene is really kind of tight-knit here, so which is really great. It's very welcoming.
Laura told me that you've been working together for a long time. How did you meet?
About 8 years ago, I moved to Tacoma, and I met Jessica within about a week. I met her at a letterpress festival in Seattle. But even if I hadn't, I probably would have met her right away in Tacoma. It's a small community. We have a kind of a small and tight-knit artistic community here. So I kind of met her right away. And then a couple of weeks after that, Jessica called me up and said, hey, I want to do a broadside for the 2008 election. And I found this quote, and I need an illustration of some glasses. Can you do that? And because I'm not very good at following directions, I didn't just draw the glasses, I drew the whole quote, all the lettering, everything. And bless her, she said, okay, let's run with this. And kind of the rest is history.
Well, it's, you know, that was something that Laura described. I don't know very much about the letterpress making art. And so when I walked over to the gallery and saw what your work is and what Laura is showing at her gallery, I was just blown away. It is so beautiful and fun, and it's like an amusement park for your senses and your mind. It was just like, I did not want to leave. I had so much fun. And your book...
We're totally stealing that quote, an amusement park for your senses. I love it.
Oh, I'm delighted. Use it. I mean, you cannot look at your work and not feel excited and inspired and joyful about these amazing women that you depict in the book and that are also in the broadsides. And I didn't even know what a broadside was when I went in yesterday. And Laura described to me that that was a, maybe you guys could describe that because you're experts.
The historical description, I guess, would be one sheet of paper, a broadside or a broadsheet, and it was often used for political purposes or for a printer to show the typefaces that he had available in his shop or her shop, probably his shop. Mm-hmm. And often the political versions were, we could look to Martin Luther as an example of someone who spread the word with broadsides. They're inexpensive to produce. And so we looked at that as a great model for emulating, to harken back to the historical examples and also to make a political statement that was, democratically affordable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so fascinating. The colors that you use and it's so much fun, especially to see the exhibit, because you get to see the process and all this beautiful ephemera that inspired you to making these pieces that all appear in the book, Dead Feminists, Historic Heroines in Living Color. And some that stuck with me were Babe Diedrichsen and Shirley Chisholm really stuck with me. That historically speaking, I just remembered her historic, political world, and that was thrilling. And how do you curate all, I'm assuming, how many women are in the book? I can't recall.
There's 27 different women and 24 broadsides. So one of them combined four suffragists that came from Washington State.
And so when you began this project, what came first, the theme, and then you started collecting, or how do you, what's your process?
We actually never planned to do a series. It has been really kind of loosey-goosey and organic from the start.
That's awesome.
When we did our first one, which is not in the show because it was a long time ago and we only printed a handful of them, so they are long gone. But when we started, we just wanted to make a print to be part of this election that was happening. And we were surprised at how popular it was. It took off online. People told their friends, and the edition sold out in just a few days. And so we thought, hey, let's try this again. And so that kind of is how it started. But at first, we picked quotes that resonated with us and that kind of tied in with what was happening at the time.
And I'd also interject that we take responsibility. Like, the first one was trying to get Obama elected, and that worked out. And then the second one was Eleanor Roosevelt encouraging the White House to start a victory garden, and that happened.
It's because of us. Yeah.
You guys are major movers and shakers. I've got some other ideas for you after we stop the interview.
Okay.
All right. But as time went by, we started looking at who we were going to feature, and it dawned on us that people were suggesting feminists all the time that we should feature, and almost every single time, whenever someone would suggest somebody, it was a white woman. And we thought, well, we want to inject some more diversity into the series. So we started actively seeking out women of color or women who lived in the ancient world or women that people had never heard of before. And so we didn't just want to have, here's a bunch of quotes by people you learned about in school. We wanted to have something different.
Well, it's so wonderful because when you go and look at all the pieces, there were many of people I had never heard of. And, you know, I felt, oh my gosh, I don't know anything, you know, but it was so incredible because I realized that it's this kind of work that is going to start busting out the sides of, you know, this story or this narrative that we believed for all these years. And all of a sudden there's this surge in so many areas of the arts to bust open the sides of this story that we've kind of been taking in for all these years. And that actually it's such a bigger story and has so many more facets and so much more depth and these fascinating people. And the book's so beautiful because not only is there the gorgeous artwork that you've created that is that amusement park for the senses, and then there's the stuff that blows your mind in terms of how these women lived and photographs of them and what they did. And there's just a real beauty. And I remember, and I can't recall this particular woman's name, but she was a knitter and a sewer.
Oh, Elizabeth Zimmerman, yeah.
Yeah, there was something so beautiful about I don't mean this in a negative way at all, the smallness of her work and what she did and how you guys paid attention to her. It's just beautiful.
It's really cool too, because her daughter is now running the company. So we were able to talk to her and sort of have that connection. And I think of course her daughter was really excited.
Yeah.
Her honored.
Yes.
And I am the knitter in our group here. So I kind of chose that one because I wanted, you know, I'm a fan of what Elizabeth Zimmerman did. And you're right, she did work that kind of was household work, that was hobby work, but she resonated with millions of people.
Right.
And now that knitting is so popular and people are legion, they have social media sites and they're, you know, online and talking to each other and becoming entrepreneurs, I think it's amazing that she helped create this subculture.
Yes. And in a way, she lifted up this women's work, you know, that people,
uh-huh.
And there's something so beautiful about that. She did what she loved and she did it so well and she did it, you know, for the joy of it and the sharing of it. It's remarkable.
Yeah. And she, you know, knitting can be really difficult. I mean, it can be,
yes.
You know, skilled work, and but she, her big thing was teaching people not to be afraid of it, to try something that was difficult.
Yeah,
it's so, if it doesn't work out, try it again. Try something else.
I absolutely love it, because that's the lesson that it suits any human and any occasion. You know, just try and complicated, unwind. You know, just processes to help us be brave.
Yeah, and you don't, and showing that you don't have to be brave about the big things every minute of your life. Like, you can have bravery in small ways too.
Or that small actions can have a big effect.
Yeah.
Exactly. That, I just love that you guys put it into words perfectly. And then, of course, just hearing through Laura about your relationship as artists, and I'm an artist, I'm a singer and an actor, and I know there are just certain people, when you work with them, you know, it's, as you said, things just become organic and you are able to play and have fun. And I just think that the work that you're doing is so joyful. There's just such a joy about the exhibit and how you go about it. And it sounds as though you just really enjoy working together.
We do. You know, we've both been collaborating with other people, but it's like this finding the secret sauce, and I'm not entirely sure what it is, but we complement each other. We're actually really different. We have different personalities, and when we work separately, when we do our own work, it's very, very different, and it's different than what we do together. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we kind of bring that out in each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely, I think, grew to appreciate that even more. It's almost like we took it for granted, and then we made this book, which involved a publisher and other designers and other writers, and we're like, wow, we work together pretty seamlessly. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, you know, we have 8 years of that, but also, you know, we trust each other and let each other do what we know how to do, and that is rare, I think, to get to that point of collaboration.
Yes.
But it works really well when it can happen.
Yes.
It's kind of nice. We sort of speak in a shorthand now. I mean, I think if anybody else is in the room, they don't always know what the heck we're talking about, but Jeff can understand my most unintelligible chicken scratches in my sketchbook, and
Chandler remembers everything I forget.
Oh, you remember that thing with the guy? We're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. So I don't know. It's like, it's interesting. We are, for our launch party for our book on Tuesday, we're actually doing a costume party. And we're dressing up as Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony.
Oh, that's great.
But we're doing that because they had a partnership for years. And they actually referred to their friendship and their collaborative work as a marriage. And in some ways it is kind of like that, because you have to really trust the other person. And sometimes, you know, you get under each other's skin, and sometimes it, you know, you see a lot of each other and you get sick of each other. And but in the end, it's this level of trust that goes beyond a regular collaboration.
Right.
And plus, we refer to each other as sister wives, jokingly.
Oh, that's great. It just sounds just incredible. It sounds like you really are just doing your dream kind of work with a great partnership and a wonderful relationship.
Yeah. It's funny. People, we also, you know, we're kind of neighbors. We live less than a mile from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a small town, like I said, and people will call me looking for her, or they'll ask her, like, what do you think Chandler thinks of this? And I mean, rather than asking me, they'll ask her.
That's great.
It's pretty hilarious, actually.
I notice here on the postcard, it says a portion of the proceeds from the sale of this book will be donated to the Dead Feminist Fund. What will you be doing with those funds?
We've been continuously donating with each broadside to different organizations nonprofits that we felt aligned with whatever social issue we were trying to challenge, or not solve, but put a focus on, the spotlight on. And so we decided with the book, because Sasquatch Books, our publisher, agreed to donate a proceed of every book sale, we thought a foundation would be a really great way to make this a little more formalized, a little more official. So we'll still continue to donate with each broadside, but we wanted sort of an umbrella organization that could grow bigger and maybe be able to donate more between the book and continuing with the broadsides. So again, it would be the social issues that we really want to put a focus on.
Yeah.
That affect women and girls.
That's so exciting. As an artist, I would think that really makes you feel wonderful to be able to make a contribution. That's a contribution like that. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Jessica had a really great idea with the fund. I don't know if you've seen the book. It's in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I saw it. It's absolutely incredible. I adore it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, in fact, I have a friend up in Seattle. I don't know if you know her. Her name is Jane Jones. She is the artistic director for the company Book It.
Oh, cool.
I sent her a note yesterday. I said, this would make the greatest play or musical.
I want to see Emma Goldman singing and dancing.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, now it's so funny you should mention that because Emma Goldman appears in the musical Ragtime.
Oh, wow.
Well, Chandler always jokes, like, the day that all of these women were in the same room talking to each other might be some fisticuffs. So I think having them be in a musical would be hilarious.
And poor Emma Goldman is always someone we joke about because she was so kind of dour and humorless.
Yes.
And looking back with the lens of history, it's kind of hilarious sometimes now. And, I feel awful saying that, but it's also, there's a lot of levity to be had by this one who's always sitting there frowning with her arms crossed.
Oh, yes. And you pick up the musical Ragtime or get a copy of it at the library, the CD, and she sings. And if you read the book, it's interesting. It's always fun when I think historical characters show up in theater. It's just fun to see how they behave in those contexts.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually a really good point, is that we have sort of pulled them out of their context.
Yeah.
And even taken their words. You know, a lot of these women wouldn't call themselves feminists, but we decided to do that and borrowed their words, and, you know, hopefully they won't rise up and avenge.
Yeah.
Well, if they do, I bet you'll make a really cool broadside about it.
I think a good example is Alice Paul. Her quote, "There's nothing complicated about ordinary equality."
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about women's suffrage and the Equal Rights Amendment, which she wrote. I think a lot of people don't know that she actually wrote the original bill, the amendment. But we took that so far out of context. We used that quote for same-sex marriage.
Mm.
And, you know, I feel like the meaning is the same. I feel like the heart of the message is the same, but I don't know if she would appreciate that or not, or if she'd be angry with us. You know, she had some pretty controversial views that I think viewed today would be really problematic. She used a lot of racist rhetoric in her work, and as many of them did, Elizabeth Cady Stanton did as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I feel like
they're all pretty smart women, and I think if you drag them into the 21st century, they probably have still good things to say.
They were progressive in their era, and I think they would have been progressive now.
Yeah, that's, I think, the same thing. It's just they're women of their time, so it's hard to really even assess, you know, how people behave in their context is just, you know, where you're set in time. It makes a lot of decisions.
But that's also the miracle of it, I guess, is that their words so resonate
now.
Today.
Yes, that's so true.
They're over ahead of their time.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. As I said before we started recording, I will tell everyone I know to run and not walk to see the exhibit. It's so wonderful and inspiring and fun. And I hope I'll get to meet you in the flesh at some point. But if not, I'll just continue to look for your work. And I just wish you all the best with your work, and what you're doing is very exciting. And I especially hope that lots of young people will see these incredible women and how you depict them, the beautiful artwork, and then also the wonderful, you know, information you're passing on through it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a great day.
Thanks.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.